This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf!
That's insane. You're insane.
Absolutely insane. My palace.
My palace isn't even a stained spread. As you said.
Are you telling me?
49.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Now, if you don't think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw off that.
One time for the killers. Double up for them gangsters.
Just living the dream.
Hi, I'm Bill Wayne, and welcome to Chicago Bulldog.
I gotta be honest, I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my bearings with cartoons, your mom, and it's like you still got it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Chicago Bullseye. On this episode, you're going to hear a timeless interview with Big Day from the Ball Show, B-A-W-L. Ball has two shows that you can find on iTunes and at BullsPodcasters.com. One is Ball, which is just basically a fantastic sports podcast and pop culture podcast, and you can also find Ball on Bulls. Both are excellent. I enjoy listening to Ball and Bulls at Stitcher, and you can download the Ball podcast on iTunes. Big Dave's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and a great guy, extremely knowledgeable Bulls fan. Wanted to have him on to get his opinion on the season so far. This was recorded, I think, at the end of last week, so it was recorded before the disaster of yesterday's game and the loss at home against Orlando. Starting to have some concerns, and Mark and I will touch on those in an episode that will be launched soon. Mark and I also recorded an episode that should be launched either today or tomorrow, and that episode was recorded after Gasol's epic game on Saturday. Until next time, you can email me at chicagobullseye@gmail.com. Follow me at CBEFred on Twitter. But here you go, the great Big Day from Ball. And I hope you enjoy the interview. Again, a lot of timeless topics. Have a good one, and I'll talk to you
all
soon.
All right, Big D. Thanks a lot for joining us for the Chicago Bulls. I'm really excited to have you on. We'll start out with a few questions about the beloved Bulls. Biggest surprise so far this season and your biggest disappointment?
Well, I guess obviously the biggest surprise is Jimmy Butler. I mean, who expected this? I don't even think the biggest Jimmy Butler fan expected him to play this way. I found myself using words like Jordan-esque when describing his play, which I don't use lightly. So watching him out there, and I mean, his ability to be that kind of clutch, his confidence, his ability to get to the line, the fact he's averaging over 20 a game. I mean, teams are starting to have to game plan for him. And the fact he can lock down your best player defensively. I mean, we saw that in the Houston game. Because James Harden was non-existent out there. So he's definitely, for me, been the biggest and most pleasant surprise. Because I'm on record saying dozens of times, if Jimmy Butler averaged 16 to 18 points a game, then the Bulls won't lose in the East. So he's making me look like a genius right now, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
As far as disappointments. Luckily, there aren't many. Like that's a great thing to say. That's a very hard question, Steve. But I would say for me, the biggest disappointment is probably Tony Snell, only because I was really high on Tony Snell. I really liked him. I mean, everything about him, the way he looks, the way he shoots, says that he should be thriving. Or at least be, you know, up to some kind of level of NBA player right now. I mean, I watched him all through the summer league, especially this summer league that just had McDermott. He and McDermott had great summer leagues. I watched him bring the ball up constantly, always taking the shot, always getting to the bucket. I mean, he was great. And I just knew that would carry over because I saw the same thing with Jimmy Butler in his summer league after his first year. He dominated in the summer league, and I was like, oh, okay, this guy looks serious. So I'm thinking the same thing is going to happen with Tony Snell because he really did play well. He really did look confident. And he looked like, as we said on our show, he looked like he went to man school. And graduated with flying colors, but it's like he got here, and I don't know what happened. And it's weird because I can't say it's a lack of confidence because he still isn't afraid to take the shot. He's still shooting, like, with no problem, and it looks confident. Every time he's out there, he looks confident. It's just he gets lost, doesn't know where to be, just makes so many rookie mistakes. You know, and I mean, he's not a rookie, but he's making rookie mistakes out there. And, you know, for him to play that bad, especially at a position that we need him to get those minutes off of Jimmy Butler. We need Jimmy Butler to get that rest. And we need Tony Snell to come in and do that. And he hasn't been provided that. And, yeah, you know, it's really been a disappointment for Tony, my man Tony Snell, who I have dubbed Poor Tony Snell. Because that's why I say that every time. That's just his nickname. Because I say it every time I see him, Fred, Poor Tony Snell. That's all I say. So,
well, I'm glad you said him and not, you know, McDermott. McDermott hasn't played great. He's shooting 42%, obviously. He's also only, you know, I think played, off the top of my head, I can't remember how many minutes, 198 minutes, you know, which is what Jimmy Butler plays probably in a week and a half. You know, he's got, 52 shots, somewhere around 50 shots. I mean, I don't know how anybody can make a judgment on a player with so little. He hasn't been a disappointment. I mean, obviously he's been a disappointment, but there's not, it's an incomplete. You don't have enough you can't make a judgment on the guy.
No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I can't make any kind, like you said, I can't make any kind of judgment on McDermott. I haven't seen him out there enough to play or to make that kind of judgment. I mean, when I saw him play, he looked like I thought he would look. He looked like a rookie. I didn't see anything that was like, oh, my God, you know, he's going to be terrible at this. Oh, my God, he's going to be great at this. I just saw him out there trying to find his game. And he went down early, you know what I'm saying, with the knee injury. So I can't judge him because of an injury, you know what I'm saying, that happened. That'd be silly. So, no, I'm not going to do that to him. I'm actually excited to see him get back. I would love to see where he fits in on this team because, especially you were the main one, but really, really hyped about McDermott being here, which made me watch him even closer because I value your opinion. So I watched him even closer and checked him out in the summer league. And I must say, I was impressed with what I saw. I really liked what I saw. So I was really looking forward to seeing him play out there. So it's just a shame that happened to him, but I'm really excited for him to come back.
I prefer to talk about my hype on Gasol than McDermott. At least that's making me look
No, trust me, I won't get on you because I can't say you're wrong yet. I can't because I haven't seen him play. I haven't seen him play for him, so I can't say it. I'm actually excited for him, and I think that he fits in well with the kind of team the Bulls have. He's that 3-point shooter that the Bulls, you know, need. You know what I mean? And I'm really excited to see where he fits in because once again, he has that confidence also. Which once again, I saw that in summer league, and I saw it in a few games he was in there. He wasn't scared of the moment, and that's all you can really ask for a rookie. In the beginning, is somebody who's not scared of the moment. He wasn't afraid to take his shot. It's just he was trying to find out where he needs to be. You know, of course, getting better defensively. He was better defensively than I thought he would be, actually, which let me know he had actually been working on his game, which is another plus. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him when he gets back. I really want to know where he stands when he gets back. And when he gets back, then I'll be able to, you know, throw more judgment his way.
I'd like to get your grades on the following players. So let's start out with Paul Gasol. Grade him A through F with a few comments, subsequently to give me your opinion on how he's been so far.
Gasol gets an A+. Once again, he is another player like Jimmy Butler to me. As you know, we were huge on Chris and I on our show Ball on Bulls. We were really huge on Carmelo coming here. And when he didn't, we weren't, you know what I'm saying, over the moon about Gasol being here. He, once again, for us, was the consolation prize. But, oh, my Lord, what a consolation prize he's been. He has been amazing. And when Chris and I went to see the Bulls play Denver in the preseason, and I was running down my assessments of the team, he was my main one. I was thoroughly impressed with the way he played. I mean, I was like, well, nobody's going to score inside with him and Noah there. He's going to get a ton of blocks, and he's going to get all the rebounds. And the way he was shooting, it was just great, and it carried over right into the season, man. I mean, once he's playing the all-star level, he's the best center in the East. And,
yep.
I mean, it's just been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal, and it's just great to when the Bulls have those, you know, lulls and those droughts, you know what I'm saying? Probably usually, you know, usually in the second or third quarter when they have those droughts, they have somebody they can just get it into and start your offense that way. Start your offense, get it inside, get it to Gasol, run the offense through him, whether he takes the shot, whether he sets up a shooter, whether he makes a drive to the bucket, anything. It's been great to get dump the ball inside to a big man and watch him create. And he has been phenomenal with that, man. And the blocks have just been a plus. I mean, it's just been a huge plus. Because I heard your last show with Pence, and I couldn't believe when you said he had about 50-something blocks. I'm blown away. I couldn't believe it. And he's second in the league in blocks. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. So he's doing it from scoring. He's doing it from rebounding. He's doing it from defensively. He's doing it even from a mentorship type of thing, what he's doing with Miritich. I mean, he's just been a godsend, man. And yeah, he's been an awesome gift, an awesome gift.
So I'm curious to see your opinion on, knowing what you know now, obviously, you know, it looks great with Gasol's healthy and he's playing well, and Carmelo's, you know, struggling now.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously in a few years, you got to believe that Melo's going to be still a productive player. Gasol probably won't be where he's at now.
Yeah.
Would you still prefer Carmelo to Gasol, knowing that he would take up a lot more of the cap, it would limit a lot of things for you? I'm not sure if they'd be able to sign Butler.
That's true. I mean, taking everything into consideration now, I mean, it doesn't look as feasible. If I could, but you know me, man, I love Carmelo Anthony. I still want Carmelo Anthony on this team, man. I just love the way he plays. I know what he can do on the court and what he could do for this team. But, you know, I know that sounds crazy, seeing what the Bulls look like now. But I guess seeing what they look like now, of course, Gasol, of course, is the better option. You know, I'm not a fool. But, yeah, if I still had to do it over again, I would want Melo. Because he, for me, was the answer. And for me, he would still be the answer. If we had Melo, I would say the Bulls are going to the finals. With the team we have now, you know, I still feel that way. But,
you still feel the Bulls are going to the finals?
Yeah. I don't see them losing. Like I just told you, Fred, if Jimmy Butler every day came to games, I don't see them losing anybody. I just don't see it. I don't see it. You know what I mean? Maybe more trades need to happen, things like that, but I don't see it. But I digress, because you were asking other questions.
Oh, yeah. What would you grade Jimmy? I mean, obviously an A-plus, too, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, obviously an A-plus also for Jimmy for the reasons I stated earlier. He's just been great. And, you know, doing everything that Tibbs needs and wants. I mean, he's a machine. Even that they talked about after that Houston game, how they even had a grueling practice, which is insane. But they had a grueling practice right after that. And Jimmy Butler's after practice, you know, putting up shots, you know, for an extra hour, drenched in sweat, you know, just still working at his game, still wanting to get better, still this humble guy. He's everything, you know, you would want in an NBA player. You know, and it's just, you know, great to see him ascend to these heights.
I wonder if I thought the same thing. I heard they had that practice the day after that Houston game, and I'm like, man, I wonder if that had anything to do with how they came out on Wednesday, because they sure looked tired. They sure didn't look, you know, rusted and ready to rock.
I think it had everything to do with that, Fred. I really do.
I wonder. What about get your grade for Rose?
For Rose, I'm personally, I would give Rose a B-minus, but that's me. Cause I know I'm in the minority here about, Derrick Rose, but Derrick is at the level right now where I thought he would kind of be at. The guy is about two months into the season. He looks like a guy who hasn't played in 2 years. I mean, he's going to have ups and downs. When he started out, it was really high, Then he's had some lows. Then he had to battle a few more injuries. And so now he's just getting to the point where he's trying to get acclimated and find out where he needs to be on the court. I just wanted to see. I know the Derrick Rose I'm going to see in the playoffs. So I guess that's why I'm not so worried about his shot and the things that he's doing out there. I don't mind it because, for me, he's still getting over thinking about his knee. I mentioned this on the show that the last game against Houston, that was the first game for 2 or 3 minutes where I didn't think about his knee, where I didn't think about him getting injured. It didn't even cross my mind for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm like, if I'm thinking this way, imagine what he's going through in his head. Imagine what is going on, you know, in his world. And to have to do all the work he did to get back. Because I think people treat these injuries like they were two pulled hamstrings or something.
Right.
I mean,
I agree.
You don't know anybody who has gone through this kind of, no superstar has gone through this kind of injury and has been able to return and return at a high level. See, he's not just returned, Fred. He's returning, trying to return at a high level and at a high level of play. And then people want him to play at a high level of play. And I'm like, but this is why they got the team they got. So he wouldn't have to play at the crazy level he was playing at. So he wouldn't have to average 25 a game. So he wouldn't have to take all these insane shots. This is why we got the Paul Gasol. This is why Jimmy Butler busted his behind during the offseason. This is why Joakim Noah went to the level he did. This is why they went and got McDermott and Dunleavy shooting and all these things. So it could take pressure off of him. Because it's going to be a hard process for him to get back to any, you know, resemblance of the player he was. But I like how he's handling it. Of course, he's shooting too much. These three-pointers, he's taking them. But every time he takes them, I'm like, hey, man, you know, keep shooting. That's all you can do is keep shooting. So I'm like, keep shooting, Derek. You know, keep doing it. And if it was hurting our team, I would feel people. I would understand it. But he's playing bad, and we're still, in my opinion, the best team in the East. And go ahead.
I think you hit a homer. I completely agree with you. I was just thinking about this the other night. Everybody's asking, you know, from Funk to, you know, the average fan, he's got to take it to the hoop more, take it to the hoop more. Why? The regular season, he takes it to the hoop. There's a higher likelihood he's going to get injured.
Right.
I think he's picking his spots. I think he's fine with playing out in the perimeter. We got answers down low with Gasol, Butler. I mean, we have three guys that can post and Taj. I think you see in the fourth quarter, there's no doubt he's a little bit more aggressive, and he takes it to the rim when he has to. But I don't feel like Derek – I kind of get the idea that Derek doesn't feel like he needs to take it to the hoop right now, and he's going to work on his perimeter game. And just because he realizes now after all these years, these games really, in the grand scheme of things, they're important, right? They're part of it, the season, but they're not that important. They're not as important as the playoffs and being healthy for the playoffs. I kind of agree with you. I think people are freaking out. Obviously, the percentages aren't great, and it's a little disappointing how poorly he's shooting in some of these games, but I think they'll be fine. As long as he's healthy by April, I think you're going to see him become relentless and aggressive and taking it to the rim when it comes to April. So I'm not worried either, and I'm glad you were. You know, I think most fans would have given him a C, you know, even some C pluses. I give him a B.
Oh and that's the other point is the moments, like you said, the four quarters where he has just absolutely turned on and dominated against elite NBA teams. Against those teams that, you know, not against, you know, the Charlottes and those other teams, against the Denvers, against Portland, you know what I'm saying, against these teams that are really, really, really good. He has turned it on the fourth quarter and going at those teams with really good point guard. And he's turned it on. He knows when to do it and when not to do it. And also, I give him that grade, last point on him, also give him the grade because of how improved I feel his point guardsmanship has become. I'm watching him become a better point guard. I'm watching him be a better facilitator on the floor. Those passes he's throwing are amazing. I saw him give Gasol a bounce pass from half court right on the money. And it looks easy. And I'm watching him in this pick and roll with Gasol. It looks so effortless and nice and sweet. And I'm watching him find Jimmy Butler in the corner for that three. And I'm seeing the way he's playing. He's getting 19 points, but he'll get you 9 assists also. He's getting those 9, 8 assists. And, I'm really enjoying his point guardsmanship right now. So, yeah, B minus, I get Anthony Rowe.
How about Miritich?
I think I'll give Miritich also a B minus. I can't give him a C. I don't think he's done anything bad enough for me. I mean, the mistakes he's making are rookie mistakes, and I take that into consideration. But also, right now, he's playing like the best rookie in the league. So I take that into consideration, too. My only fault I had with him early in the season was I wanted him to be more aggressive, and I wanted him to realize, you know what I'm saying, when to take that three-point shot, because he was so hesitant on that shot early on. Like, he didn't know. It's kind of like he was, you know, worried about Tibbs. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it okay if I take this shot? Will I get benched if I take this shot? Are you going to get mad at me? Because I know I'm not the greatest defender out here, and I don't want to get taken out the game. I just need him to say, forget that, which he's been doing lately. Just forget that. Take your shots, you know what I'm saying, and just go. I just need you to just go. And he's been doing that lately. He has been great. He's been even better than I thought he was as far as his inside game. And actually, inside, he knows how to get inside, and he knows how to bang. He's not scared. Of course, I'm telling you, the mistakes he's making, Fred, are rookie mistakes. They're not, oh, my goodness, this dude can't play basketball mistakes. They're very correctable, little tiny mistakes. You know, like knowing where to be on the floor. You know, taking that shot when you're supposed to. Not double-teaming this guy. You know, not double-teaming the center out at the three-point line. You know, those are correctable mistakes. Those are little tiny rookie mistakes. But overall, he's been great. I've been trying to, like, when Dunleavy's hurt, I don't know why he doesn't start at the three. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand why they put Kirk Heinrich in at the two and move Jimmy Butler to the three. You don't move a guy from a position who's playing at an MVP level at one position. You don't move him out of that to appease Kirk Heinrich. That's silly. Bring him in. Let him play that three. Glad Diaz is kind of seeing that, you know, because he did it in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, overall, though, B minus. What would you give him? What did you give
him? I give him a little bit higher grade. I'd probably give him an A minus just because, you know, I really didn't expect him to do much this first year. A lot of guys, I think, struggled that transition from Europe to the NBA. He's been a lot better on defense than I expected. I think he's got really nice hands. You know, he caused a lot of disruption there. I think he's a pretty decent fundamental rebounder. You know, on the defensive end, you know, he's never going to be an elite player, but I think he's been okay. And on the offensive end, I mean, there's not a game that goes by where I'll see something that's like, man, this guy can really, he's got a lot of skills and abilities that you just don't see in a guy that size, that long, and at that age. And I think he's got, he doesn't have a lot of fear. You know, I think he's got the ability to say, you know, I'm fine with taking this shot and believe in himself. So I've been really impressed with Miritich. I really think that he should be starting at the three. I think that that's our best answer. You know, I've said this 100 times this year. The Bulls cannot win a title with Heinrich closing games. And it seems like before the season, you know, we kind of touched on it where I kind of felt like Tibbs was going to close with that. You know, that same lineup we saw against the Wizards, Ty, Noah, Heinrich, Rose, and Jimmy, and that's just too defensive-centric. Now, I've been pleasantly surprised that he has occasionally gone with Gasol, which will give us a little bit more offense, but, you know, still too much Heinrich. You know, I really kind of felt like he did show a couple times recently that he was willing to try Miritich or Dunleavy. I'm fine with either or. I just I can't stand it when he closes with Heinrich. Overall, though, Miritich, I really think this kid has a ton of ability. If he learns to have a good post-up game, he's going to be too big for the threes in the league, and he's going to be too fast and too quick for the fours. He'll be a matchup nightmare. And so I that's why I'd give him a little bit higher grade, because I did not expect a lot out of him this year.
Yeah, I could see that.
But, you know, I mean, what do you think? Who do you think should be starting? I mean, is that the whole team's healthy? What is your ideal starting lineup right now?
You know, and I had this argument on the show with Chris because he was very high on starting McDermott. I have no problem, honestly, with Mike Dunleavy starting. I really have no issue. And I am not, you know this, I am not a huge Mike Dunleavy fan.
Right.
But I have no issue with it, because watching them out there, I see the chemistry. I see what Dunleavy does, and I see what he can do for that starting lineup. As far as just being the guy who's going to be that spot-up shooter that, you know what I'm saying, that keeps the offense moving, keeps it flowing. I like his IQ out there, actually. I like that also. He doesn't do anything to hurt the team when he's out there, in my opinion. I haven't seen him do anything to be like, that was just a huge glaring mistake and say, you know, he shouldn't be out there starting. I've actually enjoyed him this season. Anytime he's open, he's hitting that shot. You know, they get that spot-up shot ready to go, and he's there, and he's hitting it every single time. He's been okay defensively. He hasn't been a liability that way. It's just that I haven't seen him do anything to warrant him being moved to the bench. I like the way he's meshed with the starters. Now, fourth quarter comes, he can sit down. But as far as starting is concerned, yeah, I have no problem with Dunleavy starting.
You know, I agree, but I also see Chris's point. I feel like McDermott's progress was completely stalled by the fact that he played, to me, it seemed like most of his minutes next to Tony Snell.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of was relegated to this role of standing on the opposite side of where Aaron Brooks was and just told to stand there. You know, he didn't really get a lot of touches. He didn't get a lot of shots. And mm-hmm. You know, as someone who played basketball, I know you played basketball. It's really difficult to take a shot and sit on the bench for an hour and just, in an hour of real time and just be expected to come off the bench and start hitting jumpers. There's nobody better than Kyle Korver at hitting jumpers, and he was doing it in the role that Tibbs gave him, this role. He was shooting at about a 41-42 percentage because he was coming in to play, you know, in the second quarter after sitting on a bench for an entire quarter. And, yeah, I didn't agree necessarily how to use Korver. I think that's been proven out about how much better he's been for Atlanta. Not that he was bad for us, but he's been otherworldly for Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I think that's when he's hurt McDermott's progress by playing him with, you know, the weaker players on the team, the younger players. He's played a ton of minutes with Mirotić and Snell, and you're not helping him out. If he was starting those games, you know, I think he would have seen a lot more progress. He would have seen a lot less attention, and I think he would have thrived because of it. But, you know,
well,
go ahead.
I think what you're saying is kind of in my head is that it was more so Tony Snell being the problem than McDermott being out there in the starting lineup.
Well, I think it was obvious that Tony Snell was attracting far less attention and the weaker of the two perimeter defenders.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened if you're playing next to Rose or you're playing next to, you know, Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's going to attract the better perimeter defender, and often McDermott was attracting that tougher perimeter defender. You know, regardless, this isn't about, you know, McDermott. This season is not going to be about McDermott. I mean, he's not going to be the guy that determines whether or not we win a title.
Mm-hmm.
No, the team is too good to have a rookie decide that. On whether or not Rose can play at 80% of the MVP level year, and Gasol, and if our front court, if Noah starts to progress. I think I've been disappointed a little bit in Noah this year. I don't think he's anywhere near how good he played last year. At least get your opinion on him, too. I know I forgot to mention that. What would you grade Noah?
Honestly, and once again, my opinion, I would give Joakim Noah a B- in my head. Chris on our show, Ball on Bulls, RookieTV.com, Chris compared him to Kendrick Perkins. And his point was, he's Kendrick Perkins, when he was playing with those earlier OKC teams, he was still trying to find out where he belonged on the court. And so he was doing silly things like taking, you know, those silly jump shots and trying to cross people over, you know, just trying to find out where he fit on the court. I think that's what Joakim Noah is doing right now. We're talking about a guy who was first team All-NBA last year and defensive player of the year, having to move out of that position and guard, you know what I'm saying, some premier power forwards, more athletic power forwards. And we're asking him to do more with that on a knee that's just been surgically repaired. And you want him to still play at that kind of level he was at last year? Well, he was running the team last year. The team revolved around Joakim Noah. This is an adjustment for him. It's the same thing that's going with Derrick Rose I see with Joakim Noah. He's trying to find out where he fits. But I like where he's finding where he fits. I mean, he's getting his 8 points. He's getting his 10 rebounds. You're blocking games, getting your steal. He's still trying to figure out, like, wait, you don't need me to start the break anymore. You know, they don't even do that anymore. But that's what he's always done. So I just think people have to be a little more patient with him also, as far as letting him find out where his game is. Because I still enjoy the energy he brings out there on the court. He's still going to come in and provide you those effort plays. You know, he gets a lot of those. You know, those effort plays, those loose balls, those. You know, he's going to find out where he fits on the court, man. It's just taking him a little while because we're talking, you know, this was his team last year. And, you know, now he's having to share that. So he's trying to figure it out. That's all that is. Go ahead. What's your opinion on?
You bring up a lot of good points. I mean, on defensive end, he's probably had to make more of a transition, you know, based on what he was doing before than any other player in the Bulls with the arrival of Gasol. My issue with him has been on the offensive end. I think the Bulls run a lot of plays through him. A lot of times they'll send Gasol out to the three-point line. They'll move Gasol away from the low post where I think he's by far the most effective. And they'll do the pick and roll with Rose and Noah. Mm-hmm. And in general, the way I feel about guys on the team offensively is, you know, do good things happen when this play is run? And I think, you know, I've watched a lot of games this year, just my general observation is the Bulls running the pick and roll, they probably run the pick and roll with Rose and Noah maybe more than any other two players. Mm-hmm. And it's always resulted to me more often than not in negative results.
Absolutely.
I think they've done a horrible job at running those two this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know whose fault it is. I kind of blame a little bit more on Noah. I just don't think he's done that well off that play. And, you know, it's got to be rectified. We've got to have a go-to play outside of, throwing the ball down to Gasol in the low post. To me, that's our best play. When we throw the ball in the offensive end to Gasol in the low post, good things happen. He either scores, he gets double teamed. Occasionally we'll have a turnover, which the haters seem to focus in on a lot. But more often than not, good things happen. Good things don't happen on the pick and roll with Rose and Noah. I like it with Rose and Butler or Rose and Gasol more often than those two. But even, you know, Gasol to me is not a great pick and roll player either. I mean, I don't think you're using him at his best skill set.
So, yeah, he's more pick and pop than he is.
Yeah, exactly. More pick and pop. And even pick and pop, I don't think that's his best part of the game. To me, the best thing about Gasol is running like a 1980 or 90 center, like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, low post game, get him the ball, let him do his thing. And then if he gets doubled, he passes out of it extremely well. And, you know, that's just my general frustration with Noah. I do want to move on, though. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I mean, we've already hit 30 minutes, so I can't thank you enough for jumping on.
Oh, no problem.
Let me ask you this question. If the Bulls fail to win the East, it will be because, finish the thought.
Because the world ends. because of injury, or LeBron just goes
figures it out
bananas and, you know, just loses it and goes insane, like insane level that we have never seen go insane. Or they can't, you know, just can't stop, you know, Toronto. Or something like that. I'm not worried about Atlanta. I'm more worried about Washington and Toronto than I am Atlanta. I'm not worried about them.
I've been saying that too for the longest time, and then I look and they're 9-2 against the West.
Yeah,
I don't know
how
are they winning these games. I mean, you know, Korver's shooting a ridiculous percentage. You got Horford. You got a couple, you know, really nice low post players. You got Teague, but my gosh, it's amazing how they keep on winning.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's phenomenal to see. And nobody knows how. I don't think they know how. But they're out there doing it. Like you said, it's good shooting, definitely. It's solid defense because Horford is out there. And that's another big key. Horford is healthy this year. And also Kyle Korver is just, you know, playing like Gasol, like on a level, or Jimmy Butler. He's been Jimmy Butler for them because he's just been at a level nobody expected. We knew he could shoot. We didn't even do that, but we didn't know he could, you know, maybe you, Fred, because, you know, that's your guy. But nobody was willing to move. You know what I'm saying? This kind of greatness lied within him.
What? And so let's assume the Bulls come out of the East. I think you and I both agree they're the favorite.
Yes.
Who would you favor them to beat out of the teams that are currently in the playoffs in the West?
Ooh. I favor them, I say the Clippers. I really like how they match up against the Clippers. I'm not a big believer in them. I like how the Bulls match up with them. I think Derek and Chris Paul, by that time, Derek and Chris Paul will be canceling each other out. Jimmy Butler obviously wins that matchup against Redick. I forget who their three is. It's Matt Barnes running the three, I think. So him going up against Dunleavy, I mean, you know, that's a wash. I mean, Blake on Noah, I mean, you'll give that to Blake. But Blake is hard-headed sometimes. He might get comfortable shooting that outside jumper all day long and, you know, shooting threes and trying to bring the ball up and do stuff like that and shoot them right out of the game. And DeAndre Jordan against Paul Gasol, that'd be a good matchup as far as Jordan's defense. As far as the bench is concerned, I'm going with the Bulls bench. I mean, I know they have Jamal Crawford, which is my guy, but he, you know, he could be hot and cold. I really like the Bulls. They have Hito Turkoglu and, you know, all these guys, but I really like, you know, Aaron Brooks has just been great. And Taj Gibson is always, you know, hard hat lunch pail, as Stacey King says. I just really like the Bulls off the bench. And of course, Mirotić. I don't know who they have on their team that can answer for Mirotić. And, yeah, I think we could really beat the Clippers. That's the team I know the Bulls can beat.
So are you saying you would favor the Spurs in a series against the Bulls?
Ooh, yeah. Not by a huge margin. I think it's more because maybe it's more – I'm like – and they match up so well with the Spurs. Yeah, they really do. They match up really well, man. But what I'm about to defend the champs. And it's hard for me just to not give them that respect. It's really hard for me not to give them that respect to say that they wouldn't win in a nice seven-game series. I do think it could probably go either way, but I think the Spurs, in the end, would pull that one out. But it will be close. It will be close.
How about Oklahoma City?
I don't know if OKC – I don't think OKC will make it out to go to the finals. But if they did, I think the Bulls would beat them.
Golden State?
I think the Bulls could beat them. I do. Nobody's going to stop Westbrook. But that's the problem also. Because I firmly believe Westbrook and Durant cannot win the title together. I don't think their games match each other to that point where they can mesh and win a title together, because Westbrook thinks he's the man, and he is. And Durant knows he's the man because he has the MVP trophy next to him. So you got two guys battling to be the man, and I don't think that's going to work out. I just don't. I don't see how that works out. They're going to need another number three that doesn't need the ball but can score. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
a guy who can put the ball in but doesn't need it or doesn't, you know, really want it, but can score for you and take over for you. Because Westbrook is going to shoot 30 shots, and Durant should shoot 30 shots. And, yeah, they're going to need that. But overall, yeah, I think the Bulls can pull that out, because I just think, once again, they're bench. And I think they're deeper. I just feel they're deeper than that. So, yeah, I think it's the OKC.
So right now, I'm going to throw you a few more names. Tell me yes or no.
Sure.
Do you think the Bulls would be the favorite? So right now, so far, you gave me the Spurs. It would be the Spurs the favorite. You have the Bulls over the Clippers.
Yeah.
The Trailblazers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We'll be the Trailblazers.
The Grizzlies.
Wow. Man, Fred, these are tough questions. Wow. You know what? I'm gonna say the Grizzlies now. But that, I promise you, that might change. Right now, I'll say the Grizzlies. In a seven-game series, I'll say the Grizzlies. But I promise you, that could change.
Mavericks.
Oh, since they have Richard Jefferson, right?
Gosh, I don't know if he's. Let me check. If
Richard Jefferson's on the Mavericks, then the Bulls will win.
I don't think he's playing that much. If he is.
He's on the team, Fred. He's on the roster. No, they're not winning.
How about
they won?
What about the Houston Rockets?
I think the Bulls have already shown that they can match up well and play with Houston. And if they shut down Harden, then I don't know what else Houston has. And Jimmy Butler has shown he can do that. So, yeah, I feel comfortable picking the Bulls for that.
And the last team, Golden State Warriors.
Oh, no, Golden State. I got Golden State on that one.
25. I think they are beatable, though, if Bogut's out. I think the Bulls have a huge advantage if Bogut's out.
That's true.
So we'll see what happens there.
Well, what about Steph Curry, man? Like, who's talking about that, man? Like,
we got Heinrich there. It is.
The grind defense.
Exactly. Dave, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Last question I wanted to ask you. You're going to take over for Gar Pax.
Okay.
GM. Give me two moves. If you have any before the year's out, would you make any trades? Where would you upgrade? Or would you just stand pat with the team as is?
I can think of two things. One, I would like to bring in another two guard, somebody who can help out Jimmy Butler. That's what I would like to know.
Right
now.
Aaron Aflalo.
Oh, God, yes. I would love Aaron Aflalo. I wanted him in the offseason. I know Denver's talking about having a fire sale, so if there's a way we can get Aaron Aflalo without giving up so much, I would love to keep him. And I, honestly, Fred, I don't want to give up guys like Clay Heinrich and McDermott. I don't want to give them up because I like the chemistry of the team as it is. But a guy like Tony Snell as a draft pick or something, or Etuan Moore and like that, yeah, I can lose those pieces. Nazir Muhammad, I can lose those pieces. But the other pieces, I just like the way they mesh with the team. Even Kirk, as much as terrible as he is, I don't have a problem with him being on the team. But, yeah, I would like Aaron Aflalo. I would like a two-guard for Jimmy, and I would pay Tibbs.
Would you trade Mirotić for Aaron Aflalo?
No, not at all.
Would you trade McDermott for Aaron Aflalo?
not right now. I wouldn't. Because, like I said, the chemistry is important to me right now. Because if this team, Fred, if I didn't have championship aspirations like I do for this team, I would make some of these deals that you're saying. Because I would think we're falling short of a championship. But I just think we're literally on the cusp of a title. And the way the team is meshed and the way they have come together and the chemistry of it, and I've used that word a lot, but I'm serious. The chemistry of this team is great. And I don't want to mess with that. And I think even moving a guy like McDermott, I think we'll mess up the chemistry a little bit.
McDermott, I don't think – I'm not willing to. Aaron Fowles is getting up there in years. I mean, he's not super old, but we're not going to sign him next year if you want Jimmy Butler. We just don't have the room.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not willing to trade a younger piece for a guy who I don't think puts us over the top. And, you know, let's face it, I don't know if he's going to get a ton of minutes and ahead of Jimmy. And, you know, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, if I'm able to give up Tony Snell and Etuan Moore and get Aaron Aflalo, I'm doing that. If I can do that move, yes, absolutely. Not
for
a question down my mind. Not a doubt in my mind. Not Tony Snell and him, yes. I have no problem giving him up. No problem at all.
So right now you're feeling pretty good about the Bulls. I agree with you. Right now, would you put them as a favorite obviously out of the East, but you don't have them as a favorite to win at all.
Not yet. Not yet. It's still some, you know, like you said, like I want that two guard, and I just want to see how the rest of the season goes because, you know, I've been telling Chris this on the show, man. Like my meathead fan is coming out early. Like usually my meathead fan comes out in the playoffs. But it's coming out early now because I'm seeing it. And I'm seeing how good this team can be. Like, I keep asking that question, like, are we really this good? Because sometimes I can't believe how they're operating on the court and what I'm seeing. Because I'm like, wow, they look tremendous. This is a serious, mean-looking team. And
yep.
I mean, they look ready, Brad. They do. They look ready.
Amen, Dave. Amen. Dave, I can't thank you enough for jumping on this late at this late hour. Just real quick, tell us where we can find you. Tell us about Ball and find you on Twitter and email if you have that.
You can find us at rookietv.com, rookietv.com/ball. We do two shows. We do the show called Ball, B-A-W-L, and we do the show Ball on Bulls, where we strictly discuss the Chicago Bulls and NBA talk. You can also find those shows on iTunes and subscribe to them for free. You can find Ball on Bulls on Stitcher.com and also, of course, BullsPodcasters.com. As far as Twitter, we are at Ball Sports, B-A-W-L Sports. Your email, you can send that to Chris. He is it Chris? Well, you know what, you're sending me at BigDays7911@gmail.com. And we get a lot of emails from people who like the show, so we appreciate that. And, yeah, and also being a guest on a Fred's show when he lets us in here.
Amen. I got to tell you, it's great to listen to you guys. You guys are phenomenal. I totally enjoy listening to you. I especially love also the one that's not just on the Bulls, where you guys are getting a lot of pop culture topics. It's great stuff.
I can't encourage
everybody to listen enough. I mean, it's really phenomenal. It's so good to have you guys in the Bull Zone and the Bulls Show and Tonus and these other alternative sources when, you know, the team's phenomenal. And what do you hear on the radio?
Yeah.
What you hear is 100% Bears talk.
You know,
we get a little bit of Bulls, and you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm so glad we have you guys and then the other podcasters out there to listen to. So, man, thanks a lot for coming on, brother. I really appreciate it. You know, all the best to you in the new year. And you guys, I will have Chris on next week, and hopefully both of you on together soon.
Cool, man. Hey, it's always love, Fred. Thank you for coming on our show. And thank you for all you've done for our show, man. We really appreciate it, bro.
Oh, no problem. All right, all right. You guys. Take it easy, man. Have a good one.
All right, take care.